Okay, we're going to, this will be our last Sunday, and we have all the Chinese brethren returning to back to their usual place. I think for them it's a sigh of relief, and they're just happy to be, you know, without having to look at translation all the time. So just glad for them that they are downstairs once again. Just want to remind you that we have a last worship service on Wednesday, 8 p.m. Sanctuary. We are going to look at it down memory lane. Let's look at this year and what has gone by, and lest we forget. Well, let's look forward to a worship service now. Let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Good morning. A warm welcome to God's house, especially to those who are new amongst us. And a special thanks to all that have been working in the background, making each Sunday worship a meaningful time for all of us. My name is Kok Yang. I've been attending Bethany since 2014. Some of you may know that I serve in a hospital. Others may know me as Isabel's husband. My privilege and honor to be able to lead in worship today. Let us open with a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, help us to quieten our hearts for a time of worship in your house. We thank you for all your provision over the years to Bethany. This morning, may our voices sing fervently in praise of you. Teach our hearts to be filled with gratitude for your grace. We pray that our minds are open to the truths and light that your word brings. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. To start off with a word of warning, when Pastor Ben Kwa comes along and asks you if you are traveling on a certain date, he is not interested in your holiday or where you're going. But seriously, I'm deeply encouraged to see more young people sharing and sharing their faith. But for me, it has indeed been an honor and pleasure and privilege to be chairing at this last morning worship service of 2025. I remember that I was up here at the last morning worship service of 2024 as well. And I remember Ben Kwa coming up to me and asking the same question. So how has your 2025 been? I'm sure many of us have much to reflect upon. Last year, I talked about God's restoration through some of the health challenges I had in 2024. But by God's grace, no health situations for me in 2025. In fact, I had a heart scan that was completely normal, so no more excuses for that morning exercise. But 2025 has been a year that I'm deeply grateful for. 2025 has been a year of quite a few significant events, but perhaps I will just share two of them. What resonates with me for 2025 is God's light. The first major event I would like to share is about our foster boy, Joel. Many of you may know or may have come to know him. He came to be fostered by us in 2022 as a baby boy aged 7 months old. And our family had been greatly enriched by him. He brought much joy to us. We watched him take his first steps, say his first words, and over the years, he evolved into a very loving, curious little boy full of conversation. At the end of April of this year, after being with us for about 3 years, he was reunited with his natural parents. Foster parenting is a challenging journey. One learns to love a child that is not their flesh and blood, sometimes have to deal with behavioral situations. But the thing that is on most foster parents' minds and hearts is the reunification. How does one give up a child that one has grown to love and cherish? There is much uncertainty with reunification. Will the child be safe? Will we get to see the child again? Will the child react to the reunification? Indeed, there is much that a foster parent can worry about. For Joel and us, the reunification was, of course, challenging. Isabel had planned a farewell party so Joel could have some closure. But more importantly, there was preparation over the years for the reunification through various things that we did with him. And by God's grace, the reunification was relatively smooth. One of the key things that worked for us was managing our expectations. The expectation that the child would leave one day and that we only have limited time with him as a family unit. For me, the expectation was also that God's peace and comfort through His Word would carry me through these challenges, just as He had done so through the times of trouble and sorrow that I had previously faced. And thus, there was a sense of confidence that I took to this experience. And I have to say that, yes, God's light did shine through during this period of reunification. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." This is the nature of God's love, and in turn, we hope to give love of this nature. So the first song I've chosen is "To God Be the Glory." Let us be reminded that our strength, our love, and our sustenance is through God. Let's give Him the glory that He deserves. To say that looking at Auntie Margaret from here makes me smile. Okay, the second major event was the launching of a book that I put together entitled With Hope as My Center. This book project was something that I had decided to undertake at the start of the year. through much encouragement and support from a group of very close friends. And it puts together all my poetry over the last 6 years. And I spent quite a lot of time explaining the context of each poem to make the book more meaningful. The book is not for the bookstore shelves. Rather, it is specifically for charity, and all proceeds go to this registered charity, Home for Good Singapore, which advocates and supports foster parenting. There was some sense of achievement in completing the book, as the journey to complete it was rather emotional. Surprisingly, I can still recall the circumstances and scenes that led to the poems. There were many tears shed reliving those situations, but along the way, the Lord sent his helpers. A dear brother in Bethany gave me some input about the book title, but more importantly, someone special amongst us designed the book and facilitated its publishing. What was most enriching about this journey of the book project was to review my emotions, moods, and faith in the last 6 years. The book is separated into 8 chapters and themes that follow a loose chronological order, and in each chapter, there is also a chronological order. So as I reviewed the book, I realized that over these 6 years, there was not only a positive development of my mood, but also of my faith. Their ascent was certainly not linear. There were significant ups and downs, and yet at the end of these 6 years, it is evident that my mood has lifted and my faith has strengthened. More importantly, it was so clear that God's light had continued to shine upon me even in the darkest hours and the lowest of lows. Knowing this light continues to shine, I'm determined to step into 2026 strongly. I'll be making a big change next year, but it comforts me to know that God's light will continue to shine on me. So, brethren, how are we feeling about this year, and what worries do we have for the next? Have we taken stock of God's light that is shining upon us, and we just have to see this? How determined are we to move forward bravely and diligently? The second song I have chosen is Shine, Jesus Shine. Let us rise and sing with focus and conviction. Let us focus on what is eternal. Let us challenge ourselves to live a life for Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
pass the time to Pastor.
Well, this is going to be last Sunday worship service in Bethany here. We have one more worship service on 31st. You might like to plan to come. That 31st December has become a special service for some who realize that what I'm going to share on that day is something that very often functions as guidance, as light for the whole year in 2026. And I look forward to bringing such a word to share with you on at Down Memory Lane on this coming Wednesday. But before I begin, I just want to tell you that the children's book that we had, we actually ran out of books at the Shangri-La on Christmas Day, and one little girl came up to me and she held my hand, and a small little one has started school because she went down there and she wanted a book for her own, and there was none left. So she thought that if anybody could get her a book, it would be me. So that was a very, very touching moment, you know. This is a little four-year-old little girl and came out. And so I held her hand, walked there, and asked for a book for her. And they said, all read our books. Now, when I was at a moment there, somebody came around and said, I got two extra books. And she was so happy that she had one book for herself. Well, that's already special. And she was just so absolutely happy that she could bring one home for herself to read. She's not actually into reading just yet, just to the pictures and all that, but it's just a very, very special little girl to just think that, you know, smart little girl, you know. 4-year-old, where can I get a book? I line up, couldn't get a book. Maybe I'm too small to get a book. Nobody knows who I am. So she drags me along, come and help me get a book. So she got a book. She was happy. I was happy. And listen, there are plenty of books out there. So after the worship service, if you want a copy for yourself, that would be good. Even if you're older, just don't tell people you are reading that book. But listen, you are very happy. You're very welcome to use that book. Okay, now we go into Luke chapter 1 and 2 this morning. And I'm just going to ask you to pray with me as we conclude this year's word, this Christmas series. Now, Father, we pray for wisdom to understand your word. Teach us how we can conclude this year on a triumphant note. We pray that you teach us how we can appreciate all that you have done in our lives, in our church, in our midst, in the Bethany family overseas. We pray that you'll continue to lead us. We pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, first we are going to take a look at Luke chapter 2. Chapter 1, sorry. We'll just take a look at this chapter 1, the first part of it. And this is known as the Magnificat. Right? And verse 46 down. Right, let's look at verse 46 down, where we see Mary saying these words. These were her opening words. Right? And her words are that she rejoices in the Lord. Right? So she said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, if you were to ask yourself, how would you conclude this Christmas, this season? Would you be able to say, my spirit has rejoiced? Or you just simply tired out? Right? With all the hubbub, with all the activities, a lot of people actually haven't found the time or the ability to really speak of rejoicing. But think about it. So look at this one word here, rejoice, right? And this is found in verse 47. Right? Now you just think that she's always joyful all the time. Actually, that's not a correct picture. But let's take a look in chapter 1, the earlier part of it. Right? So here we see the angel Gabriel being sent, not to Zechariah a second time, but to Mary. Right? Look at verse 26. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. All right, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said to her, rejoice. Right? Now, between this period of time where the angel calls upon her to rejoice, there has not been the ability to rejoice until we see the Magnificat being uttered. Now, this is actually a few months later. Right? So let's look at this thing here. I mean, you just think there's every reason to rejoice, but not Mary. What are the reasons to rejoice? So let's take a look. Right? First, the angel calls her highly favored one. That's a reason to be rejoicing, right? You are highly favored. Two, the Lord is with you. Three, you are blessed among women. Was there would be reasons for rejoicing, but we read, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. So was there rejoicing? Answer, no. She was troubled instead. Right? She couldn't understand. What do you mean by I'm highly favored? What do you mean by the Lord is with me? What do you mean by I'm blessed among women? She couldn't comprehend that. So there was no rejoicing at this period of time, at this point of time. Right? So the angel said to her, do not be afraid. And that's exactly what Mary felt, fear. Not rejoicing. So a lot of people are unable to rejoice easily. There's always a fear element there. Right? And so the angel had to explain and so said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. There we go. Highly favored one. This is an explanation. Right? Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, called the Son of the Highest. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Right? Well, this would be reason to rejoice, but there was no rejoicing. There was absolutely no rejoicing. There was nothing. And what she came up with is, how can I know this? How can this be? I don't know a man. In other words, I'm not married yet. Right? Where is the rejoicing? Not there yet. Right? Now let's go on into verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, again here, explanation. What is this? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One born will be called the Son of God. That would be wonderful reason to rejoice. But watch, no rejoicing. Couldn't. So when we look at 146, when she said, now, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. So how do you then come to a point of rejoicing? That's something we want to think about very carefully. How can we have this point of rejoicing? That's something to think about very carefully. Okay? Now, we
look at it. So Mary said, okay, I hear you, Angel Gabriel. I understand what you're saying, at least a little bit, but the rejoicing part of it hasn't come yet. Right? So this is a rejoicing of the heart, of more than of the heart, but of the spirit and of the soul. Where is it? And a lot of people actually have never fully experienced the rejoicing of the spirit. Right? We may enjoy a Christmas present. We may enjoy a meal. We may enjoy things for the moment. It's not deep enough to talk about a spirit, a rejoicing in the spirit that Mary is now experiencing. 146. Right? So here we go. Now Mary arose in those days, went to the hill country to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then she cried out, loud voice, "Blessed are you among women." That is exactly what the angel Gabriel said. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." This is exactly what the angel Gabriel had said too. And then she added, "What? Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Right? The moment your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. There will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then comes the Magnificat. Right? Now, this is something that you do need to understand. The rejoicing of the spirit, of the soul, is not a straightforward thing. You wish it is. This is why many people cannot actually speak of truly rejoicing, simply because, you know, we have not really fathomed what we have been we've been told by God. Right? So now we look at this rejoicing in 146. "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Now this was a very special moment. It was not there when Gabriel spoke to her. Now that should have been there, because we are looking at a mighty angel coming to see her, and she couldn't rejoice. So she travels all the way to the hill country. Elizabeth, the older cousin, greets her and then talks to her, and then suddenly there came that understanding. Or somewhere something clicked, and suddenly there was a spirit of rejoicing. See, real rejoicing, if it is what it is, it has to be far deeper than that moment. Right? I mean, it's just like, you know, the anticipation when kids, they have a present, and they're all excited, they admire, wonder what it is, and they're imagining all sorts of things. Then they open it up, and lo and behold, it was the book. And you see the child's face, it fell, just set aside. Next one, another book. After the third one, they start to feel, I know it's a book. They don't even want to open it. That's how it is. And all the adults think, well, this child is very smart. The smart children must be given books. And not so smart, actually, because children don't respond like that. And that's how that works. We don't know how to be happy with what. We don't know how to rejoice. Right? And it's very important for us to understand and appreciate. Now, we have here a spiritual sense of rejoicing. So how do you explain it? Well, this kind of rejoicing, you've got to look at the next word to understand the word, the first one. Right? And this is where she begins to explain why she is able to rejoice. Look at verse 48 now. Right? In 48, the next word is regard. Right? Then that's one of the problems. When we are when we are wealthy and we can afford anything, everything, there's very little that makes you rejoice. But when you are married and you live in Nazareth and you are in a Galilean, and you come from a not very great family, you come from a very humble family, right? And when you're going to get married, the person you're going to marry is actually a carpenter. Not a great catch, as it were, until something happens. And so this is where we begin to understand the secrets of her joy, of her rejoicing. One, she saw herself, I am but a maid servant. I am a lowly maid servant, and God has regarded me. That's a wonderful thought. That's a wonderful thing to consider, right? How truly God is there to regard the lowly estate of a, she calls herself a maid servant. I'm nobody special, I'm nobody noble, I'm nobody in particular, and I am really a nobody. Sometimes it is the nobody who is able to rejoice truly. Right? To a person who has got everything, what's another gift? Nothing. But when Mary was there, now she puts them all together. You mean the mighty angel Gabriel came to talk to me personally, explain when I didn't understand, and then my cousin Elizabeth greets me as a very special somebody when I am a nobody. That is one way in which the joy comes in. Right? Now this is something very, very special. When we regard ourselves as nothing, we regard ourselves as lowly, and then we realize what God is doing to us, doing for us, then the sense of joy comes. You see, sometimes when we regard ourselves as very high, we are well positioned, we are full of pride, we are full of ourselves, this is the sense of joy hardly ever comes to such a person. Well, this is where she learned. This is very important. God has regarded me. Well, maybe the world may not regard you. If you are born in Nazareth and you are from Galilee, believe me, people in Jerusalem won't regard you. Nobody regards people from Nazareth as worth anything much. They think that they're worth nothing much. So when the Lord Jesus was called a Nazarene, it was a term of mockery. You're nothing much. You'll never amount to anything much. But that's not true. Because God has regarded the person. And this thought of God regarding us brings joy to the heart. Even if nobody regards, God does. Even if nobody cares, God does. That will bring joy to the spirit. Right? Now we go on further. Look at how he calls, she goes on further. Verse 49. He who is mighty has done great things for me. To be called upon, to be set apart, to become the mother of the Lord Jesus, who is going to inherit the throne of David. This is a great thing that God has done. You see, when there is darkness and light comes in, then you begin to understand and appreciate things in a fresh new way. Then you begin to understand that this is a great thing that God has given, a great thing that God has done. And it comes from one who is mighty. Right? We often think of the human factor. What have you done for me? Nothing. But this is about God doing something for us. And that is reason to truly rejoice. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Right? He has shown strength with his arm, scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, put down the mighty from their thrones, exalted the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. This is where we rejoice in the Lord. It all has to do with God. It all has to do with how God interacts with us in our life, how he ministers to us, how he touches our lives, how he does things for us. If we focus our thoughts on what God is, what God has done, how God relates to us, there comes a spirit of joy that very few people have actually experienced. Because we find our joy in different sources. In the family, in our achievements, in our wealth, in all the things that we do. But we forget the most important part of it is what God does in our life. And that's something to think about very, very much. Okay, now, then we come to another word, and this is important, in verse 54. Right? And we see this word, and it is a good word to read. Why would God do all this? I mean, seriously, why would God help the poor? Why would God show strength with his arm? Why would the Lord fill the hungry with good things? Why would he help? And Mary is able to say that it is because it is in remembrance of his mercy. That was the message at Christmas, right? We talk about the tenderness or the love of God or the compassion of the Lord and his mercy together side by side. And this is exactly what Mary is saying. Why was God doing all of these things? Because God remembers his covenant. God remembers what he had spoken to Abraham, to the fathers of old, and God will now fulfill what he has promised. So when you put all three of them together, side by side, then you begin to understand the extent of the spirit of joy that was now Mary's. It was not a fleeting moment. It's not the idea of, wow, I'm just going to become a mother. It's not. It's the greatness of this event. And all because God remembers his mercy to his people Israel. So when we look at the whole idea of rejoicing in the Lord, and we ask ourselves, am I able to rejoice like this? Then you begin to realize how hard this joy actually is to be found. It's so hard to find this kind of joy for many reasons. Because we are happy with human joy. We are happy with the little joys of life. But this joy that Mary talks about is one where he says, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. There's a lot of difference. So what's our joy as we climax a year? Our climax of every year is always the Christmas service. What is it that we ought to rejoice in? Right? Well, there are many things to rejoice in. Thank God for the huge number of people who came by and say, you know, we are part and parcel of Bethany. We want to learn about Bethany. We are glad we are here. And, you know, this is something vital, very significant for us to consider. Right? It's being there, being able to trace the hand of God, being able to speak of how God sends light, the Lord Jesus, how he visited us, how he shows mercy, how he shows compassion or tenderness. The word translated there is actually the word love in the book of Philippians. Right? We look at all of these things here. If our joy is really God-centered, then there is a special spirit of joy that will be there at all times, no matter what it is. Right? You may not be well physically, you may be facing many challenges ahead, maybe there are many worries. Instead of anger, instead of worry, instead of consternation, the spirit inside you is able to rejoice. And this is something that we want to end the year with. To find the spirit of rejoicing. Right? Now, this is very important. Two, let's remember who we are. If we can say, the Lord has regarded me. See, most of us, we want the Lord to regard us because we are somebody. Right? In Singapore, it's if you are a professional, if you have a certain position, if you are in a certain profession, if you are somebody somewhere, then you are regarded. Right? Now, there was one story told of a man who, he dressed shabbily. So he went to the house, a rich man's house, he knocked at the door, and the person looked at, in fact, the servant looked at him and said, "Go away. We will not give anything to beggars. Get away." So he went away. Then he saw some people going in. They were all nicely dressed. The door was open and they were invited. "Please come in." So, you know, he had a little bit of money left. So he took the money and he rented a coat. A very nice coat. And this time he went to knock at the door and he was invited to the house. And he was, very happy with the food that was set before him. Then the host said, "Please enjoy yourself." So he took a piece of cake and he gave it to his coat. Tells the coat, "Eat." The host was saying, "Hey, what's wrong with this chap?" Then after that, he put the thing down. And then he took some bread and spread it with butter. And he went to the other side of the coat. "Here, eat." So the host said to him, "What are you doing? You have passed food to your coat. Aren't you look very hungry, but aren't you going to eat something?" He says, "Well, when I first came, you didn't greet me, you turned me away. When I came with a coat, you invited me. It must be my coat, right? So I took the cake, I feed my coat. I took the bread, I feed my coat." See, that's how the world is. They look at you and see how you dress. And then they will entertain you. But if you are a nobody, nobody regards you. But remember, when nobody regards you and you know that God regards you, that's something else altogether. When you know that God is there and He regards you, He has sent help to you, He has regard for you, He sent an angel to speak to you, He has an older cousin to praises you, and all these things, and you begin to realize that the best and the only regard you need from anybody is from God. So if you are not regarded, you know what? It's okay, because God regards. That is her source of joy. Right? And you think about these things here. And she began to lose herself. She just lost herself. Why would God do this? Is it only to Mary? Answer, no. It is to all. Now that is important for us to understand. It is to all of all who fear Him. His mercy to all who fear Him. And He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. How wonderful it is to know this for a fact. So the reality is not who you are. It's who God is. Right? It is how He is going to be there to extend His help to you. And this is what is the source of great joy. You know, as I read this particular text, as I conclude this year, 2025, with this word, I ask myself, what I am looking for. How do I want to end this year? You know, I also want to find a joy within my heart. Right? Now, I understand that there is human joy. I mean, there is human joy. And I was given a watch over Christmas, and in this watch, I can see my cat. So I look at it, and so I just, for the joy of it all, I tap at it and say, okay, wow, he's just there. His sweet self there. That's joy. That's for a moment. Is this the kind of joy that God gives? Way beyond this. It's not. Right? I hope I never tire of loving my cat. But there is a greater joy that God can give. But this joy comes when you respond correctly. Right? The response is not because an angel spoke to you. And, you know, it didn't occur. Right? It's not because Elizabeth spoke and praised her. It's not. Right? We read about how the Holy Spirit was going to be involved. Angel Gabriel had to say this to her very, very, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. One. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Two. This is what we are seeing. So remember, here is Mary, cannot understand Angel Gabriel's message. Right? And you ask yourself, why can't believe? Why can't she understand? Look straightforward. There's nothing difficult, nothing hidden. It's just straightforward word. But cannot. But when the Spirit of God will come upon you, when the Spirit of God will overshadow you, then comes the response that God is looking for. You suddenly are able, you find yourself that out of nowhere, that rejoicing comes, and it is from the Spirit. Right? Then you begin to realize it goes to the next level. You are just grateful and thankful that God has come to you. And the Spirit of God will overshadow you, will come upon you. All of these things suddenly make sense. And thus the Spirit rejoices. And a lot of people are unable to enter into the spirit of joy because these are the missing pieces. Let not the joy because you have been given the keys to your flat. Seriously, although that is a very big gift. But because this is the work of the Spirit upon your heart, upon your soul, upon your spirit. And once you are able to connect them and you have that response to God, this is what will come out. Your spirit will be able to say, my soul magnifies the Lord because my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. This is what I wish for all of us as we conclude 2025 Sunday worship service. Right? Now, what really stood out to me is now how Mary's faith has matured a little bit more. Now, remember this. At this stage here, Mary is just a young person. She's not a wizened old lady. Right? She's not anywhere close to Elizabeth's age. She is beyond that age, of childbearing. That's Elizabeth, but not Mary. But this time it was different. She now possessed a faith that was able to comprehend how to regard God, how to see self, how to know that God remembers his covenant to his people. And then see her now able to be an example of fervent devotion to serve God. And so she says, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. And she will now be that servant of God. If we can find this, then you can end the year 2025 on a note of special joy. And I wish you this joy. I look at all the faces in front of me, and I feel really kind of sad for you. No, I really wish you would find this joy. But this joy is not in the lunch after this. It's not in the next few days go on a holiday. It's not found in any of these things here. It is not because the government is going to give another $300 to all Singaporeans. It's not. This joy is found in the Lord. Right? It's really rejoicing in the Lord. If you can find this, it will be something very, very special to consider. Okay? Well, let's pray together.
Our Father, we thank you that Mary was an example of how to find joy in you. Help us to find a joy of the Spirit. We pray that you will continue to lead us. Help us to find our joy in who you are, in your relationship to us. Help us to find a joy that comes deep down from the Spirit to the soul. We pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could invite the praise singers, and thank you for being here to lead in the song. Come on up. We're just going to sing a joy, a song that really speaks of joy. I think that's something we want to... can we have that on the screen? Right. This is a beautiful song that we really want to consider. I like this song very much, and I chose this as my last hymn. And it's just so good to be able to say, I sing the mighty power of God. And that's what Mary was actually doing, right? I sing the mighty power of God. God made the mountains, right? The seas and all that is there to it. How wonderful it is to be able to sing about the wisdom of God. And that's wonderful. And then we sing about the goodness of the Lord, right? And that's how wonderful it is to be able to think about the glory of God. What's your reason to sing? Well, these are some good reasons to think about. Let's all rise as we sing this together. I sing the mighty power of God. Let's remain standing as we ask the Lord to bless us before we conclude our Sunday worship services for the whole year. And now may this great God, who's given to us a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus, give to us a special spirit of joy to conclude this year with. And may the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to bring light amidst darkness, to give joy amidst sorrow, be that special source of joy within our hearts. And may the Spirit of God truly come upon us, overshadow us, and enable us to understand and to catch a glimpse of that special joy that is to be found in you and you alone. To this great God, we give glory. May He always be glorified in our lives, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Well, thank you, musicians. You've been playing for us. We take them for granted so much. Thank you for playing all this time patiently, all the whole year through. I'm just looking forward to 31st. You know, it's just been such a joy to hear you all sing. Why don't we just have a singing session? You know, just the sheer joy of it all. Just to sing for the sheer joy of it all. So 31st Wednesday, 8 p.m. we start, and we want to review 2025 and look forward to 2026 with faith in our heart for what lies ahead of us. Think about this. But let's give thanks for the lunch we're going to have. Our Father, we thank you for that which you have given to us week after week, things that we often take for granted. We pray for your blessings as we ponder this time of giving thanks to you with our spirit of joy. Help us to find this, perhaps in our fellowship together, perhaps in a new understanding and appreciation for all that you've done for us. To pray that you teach us how to enter into the spirit of joy through faith in our hearts. We pray that you would bless the time of fellowship, bless those who have prepared the food, bless the donor. We pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll have a wonderful lunch together.